This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the March 27th edition of Invest Talk. I'm going to try to make this hour worth your time, your investment time. And of course, you know, we always call it above average investing for the average investor. That's our goal. Okay. So how much time does it take to manage a retirement portfolio? And, you know, to be honest, there is no hard and fast number. Like hours in a week that you've got to put in, or a month. But you do have to have time, and you do have to be willing to put the time in regularly, and you need to monitor regularly your holdings. Even for the long-term investor, you know, there are adjustments that need to be made. Rebalancing, making sure the level of risk stays within limits, making sure the stocks that you have still have the same characteristics the reasons that you bought them, that they still exist, those same things. I mean, that's what it takes time. And you have to understand the economics of where you are and going forward. It's just a sound business decision, because you are treating your money like a business. You're growing it as a business, because this is your retirement funds. So treat it as a business. Don't treat it as just, I'll just buy something here and not worry about it tomorrow. It's just not a wise thing to do. It's your money. Now, do you have specific questions about portfolio management? I want to hear them if you do. So how much time do you spend? I'd like to hear that too. What's your regular schedule? Hour a day? You know, 4 hours a week? Just on a Saturday or what? How do you do it? I'd like to hear your story about that. And let's go ahead and move into the answering questions, because that's what people like to do here. 888-99-CHART. Here's one that came in before today's program.
Hey, Steve. This is Denny from Long Beach, California. A couple of weeks ago, you spoke about the fundamentals to stock picking. It was basically those measures one should use in a decision-making process. On the podcast from, I believe it was the 23rd of March, you mentioned a checklist for choosing stocks as well as ETFs. Could you please discuss what that checklist would look like for ETFs? Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Well, for ETFs, remember what an ETF does. It is a little like a mutual fund traded on the exchange like a stock, but it is a holding of a group of stocks or sector or an index. And most common one are index ETFs. But you have high dividend paying ETFs, you have dollar currency ETFs, you have precious metals ETFs. You know, there's hundreds of them. So what are the fundamentals? Well, first, on an ETF, you base it on what area of the market are you trying to focus on? Because that's what you use an ETF for. If the area is just tracking an index, then there's really not much fundamentals to look at. But if the ETF is high dividend paying stocks, and you're buying an ETF that does that, then you have to open up the ETF, take a look at their holdings, and see if those holdings are following what they say they do. Are they high dividend paying stocks? Are they good solid stocks? Or maybe they're a bunch of REITs, or maybe not. Maybe there are master limited partnerships in there that you don't really want. So that kind of thing is what you do when you're looking at ETFs and you want to look at the fundamentals. You open it up and see what's in it. If it's not tracking a broad index, because if it's tracking a broad index, you're just following the index. But if it's more specific, you need to know that this is what I want, and these are the holdings that they have, and they're good solid holdings, because you're going to find some of those holdings aren't going to be the ones you thought it was, and maybe you don't want that. So you have to do even more work by prying it open, find out what they're holding, and then do your own homework on each one of those holdings. It can be more work. It can be, trust me. Retirement income management is all about making sure your retirement savings provide enough income for your needs, right? I mean, you don't want to outlive your assets. Okay, and this starts by setting up a, you know, a set up and managing a portfolio that suits what you want, what your needs are. And you have to, of course, decide what they are. And that takes some forethought. Now, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority reminds investors, as you head into retirement, you need to take a fresh look at your level of investment risk, especially the possibility of losing money from your investments. Your time frame is one of the biggest factors, okay? How long does this money have to last? And no one knows that for sure, right? All we can do is make educated, solid guess. Just guess. Okay, but because if the market collapses and you are in high-risk stuff and you're at 70 years old and it goes down 50%, then you have to start using all that money and it doesn't get up the length of time to make it all back because you're using it, you can be in a big world of hurt from that. Now, of course, you can generate income through more conservative methods, you know, CDs, even though they don't pay much. But as the Fed raises rates, the CD rates will start to improve. They're still pretty paltry at this point. Now, you have to look at bonds and stocks, dividend paying, producing stocks, and bonds. You have to because they're not correlated to the stock market. They do throw off income, but you, when in a rising rate interest rate environment, the bond values goes down, and you have to understand that they will go down. But if you hold the bonds to maturity, they'll go back to par. So it may feel like you're actually losing money because the value of the bond goes down, but when it gets close to par, when it gets close to maturity, it goes right back to par. You get all your money, your par money back. If it was issued at 10,000, you'll get it back at 10,000. But if interest rates rise in between, that 10,000 will show up, oh, it's only worth 9,800 or then 9,700 if interest rates rise in between. But it will go back to par. You have to understand how that works. So you don't freak out thinking, oh, I'm losing money in my portfolio when it's only your bond values going down. Okay, bond values have gone down this year. Not a lot, but down. And people, you know, think, oh, I'm losing money. Not really in your bonds. So what topics do you want to talk about? You want to talk about that kind of stuff? We're open to spend a few minutes today talking about liquidity, absolute return investment. You know, have you ever heard of an absolute returns investment strategy? I also have some other topics. That's going to be our main topic, by the way, absolute returns. Investing for absolute return funds. Do you know what those are? I also want to talk about Alphabet, which is Google, right? Waymo, Waymo? Waymo, I guess it's called, not Waymo, but Waymo. That's their self-driving cars that they're coming out with. You heard about the Uber car that self-driving and killed that pedestrian. Well, it's not slowing down Waymo. And if we are in a bear market, if we have started a bear market, what would an average bear market look like? Now, I'm not saying we are. I'm just saying if we were, if this correction that we're in turns into a bear market, how long will it last? How deep will it last? What will it look like? I'm going to share that with you. Okay? And then I want to talk about Tesla and an article that has this hedge fund manager saying they're going to be out of business in 4 months. I want to talk about that. Now, you know, I'm not keen on Tesla, and we actually short Tesla in one of our accounts, one of our managed accounts, but meaning we think it's going down. But I want to talk about when people make predictions about things. That's really what I want to discuss in there, not necessarily Tesla, but I'll use Tesla as an example. That's what we're going to talk about. How about you? Do you see what the market did today? Okay, the Dow was down 345 points. That's 1.4%. The NASDAQ was down 211 points. That's almost 3%. Twice the Dow. Twice the amount of the Dow. And then the S&P is down 1.7% or 46 points. So the NASDAQ has really took it on the chin today. And just remember, I've said this many times, the NASDAQ generally leads the market. not always, but generally leads the market. But also up, down and up. Now remember, we got all excited yesterday because the market, you know, came back hundreds of points up yesterday, right? 600 points up or so? So everybody thought, oh my goodness, okay, well, it looks like things are going to clear up and maybe they won't go down like we thought they were down. And here we are, give back more 345 points of that. We're still in the correction mode, everybody. And how long that lasts, I'm not sure, but we're still in that correction mode. We'll be in that correction mode until we exceed the old high, so it could last a while. This is Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Invest Talk works best when you're involved. Your questions help keep us on track. Make sure we address the real life money issues that you are facing, not what I wanted to talk about. So I'm glad you're here. Take part in the conversation. Ask your questions. Share a comment or two. 888-99-CHART.
Talk continues. Dipping in focused ETFs. There's a whole list of them, a short list, handpicked by Steve, to show you a broad mix of dividend-paying stocks and other equities that pay steady dividends. If you're an InvestTalk insider, get yours today by signing up on InvestTalk.com.
888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Noel, who's in Napa Valley. How you doing, Noel?
Good. Yeah, I'm sweltering in the sun here. But anyhow, it's nice to have your calming voice on the radio, Steve. One of my stocks, OCLR, Oclaro, is in the process of being acquired by another company now, and its symbol is LITE, and I was just wondering what your thoughts were on LITE.
Looks I was like doing research on LITE. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I did a quick cursory look. I didn't see as much as you normally see, but it looks like their dividends are down. But
I did some research on Lite. LIT is a symbol. It's called Luminum Holdings Inc. Provides optical communication photonic products for manufacturing, inspection, life science fields, and it bought a pretty big company, your company, for $1.8 billion. And why that is a little bit of concern is because Aluminum at Light is only a $4 billion company, so it's buying almost, you know, like 40% its size of another company. That's a pretty big swallow. They're doing it with cash. I think they're doing cash and stock. So whenever I see something like that. It's a combination of two like-sized companies. There's going to be some clashes. It's going to take a while to work out because you have different philosophies and you're trying to meld two different management teams. When a big company buys a small company, it's not so bad. You just absorb it, you know. But when they have pretty good size. Now, this is a really good area to be in. I'll say that. This is what I concluded and why I like this stock, because of where it is. We're talking about camera, optical. Think about Apple and its dual face recognition stuff. That's the kinds of things I think are going to be more and more popular, more needed in the future. So I think the combination might be very good. I think it might be.
Yeah, this is a coming field for sure.
Exactly. That's why I kind of like it. It might be a rough ride, but I think I'd stick with it. I would. Appreciate the call, Noel. Thank you very much. This is Invest Talk. If you listen for very long, you know that I'm not generally a proponent of annuities, right? Now, they do have their places. I'm just not keen on them. I've met very few that I like. And I know you hear about them almost every day. I know that. If you're trying to decide, give me a call. I'll try to help you out. 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk continues on a service of KPP Financial. There's no sales pitch. You can look at the KPP investment packages at your leisure right there on investtalk.com. And then if you have a question, you can ask it online or on the phone. Breakthrough ideas, independent thinking, shared success with parallel investing. Do you have a money question right now? Our listener line is open, 888-99-CHART.
Okay, our talking point, absolute return funds. What is an absolute return fund? What is that? Okay, it's described, okay, defined, as the amount of funds that our investment has earned. Does that not sound like any other fund? Okay, it's a little bit different in that it refers to the total return. The absolute return measures the gain or loss experienced by an asset or portfolio independent of any benchmark or other standard. Now, if you think about that for a minute, that means today's term, hedge funds. Hedge funds, they do things. They leverage. They do strange things. They do things that are not tracking an index. They're doing anything to get the return they're after. They just concentrate on return. They don't care about indexes. They don't care about portfolio management. They don't care about any of that. They don't care about balance, nothing. They just care about return. That's it. Okay, now this, the term absolute return fund has been around since like 1949. Alfred Winslow Jones, he's the one that came up with this. And today, it's all about hedge funds. And if you know about what a hedge fund does, is they charge an annual fee, and then they charge 20% of profits, normally. 20% of the profits they make. So they take huge risks because they're after that 20%. And that's all they care about, is the return. Now, because of this, you have a lot of hedge funds go under because they take leveraged risk. They borrow, make their bets on whatever it is that they're doing, and they don't care. They're just making the best they can do. And sometimes they big, huge winners. Remember that movie? I forgot the name of the movie, but it was about the housing, the CDOs and stuff in 2008. And the one guy bet that it was all going to collapse. He is a hedge fund. He borrowed money, borrowed, made a killing because the housing CDOs and all those things did collapse. Absolute return fund. Now, if he was wrong, he'd probably lose all the money. So that's what an absolute return fund. When you hear that term, usually you should think, oh, boy, that's high risk. That's what you should think. But high risk also can mean high reward if you're right. But it's not for those who are in retirement or want to manage their risk. It's not for those kinds. That pretty much is describing me. It's not for me, okay? But that doesn't mean you avoid them. If you can take some of your money and try it out. We're here for you, beginner experienced investor, anytime, 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime number. And here's a caller.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. It's Henning from Kiev in Ukraine. Listening to you on podcast, great show as always. My question today is about Viacom, ticker symbol VIA. Now, I hear a lot of investment advisors talking about buy what you know, and I am very light in the entertainment and content space. And I've been looking at Viacom as a viable way in for probably a 5 to 10 year hold. What's your opinion of Viacom? What is the potential valuation? And could it potentially be a buyout target now that the consolidation in the media and entertainment industry has started? Thanks again, and I'll be listening to you on the podcast. All the very best. Bye-bye.
Viacom. It wouldn't surprise me if they were bought or they bought somebody and got bigger and heftier. It wouldn't surprise me because I think that whole entertainment, information, industry is going to consolidate more. It's a holding company. Viacom's a holding company in cable television, film entertainment production and distribution, and music publishing. It's a $15 billion company, so it's a big company. So most likely, it would be it would be hard for another company to buy it because it's big, and it would be another bigger company to try to do that. But they could, you know, join a partnership, you know, just combine. But they would be more, I would think, buying other assets. It pays a 2.1% dividend. It's fairly inexpensive with a PE of like 10. Insiders have been buying in this area, which is $38, $40. They've been buying. It did fall all the way down to 28 something in November, and then it's moved up ever since. And even in the recent weakness, this company hasn't been nearly as weak. I mean, this company has rallied while the rest of the market has corrected. Now, that means, but it has been going sideways for the last couple months. Okay, so, you know, it went down a little bit in February, but it got it all back and just going sideways. I kind of think it's a good diversifier in your portfolio, has really good return on equity, really good cash flow, and this is probably, looks like a consolidation to me. So I kind of like it at this price, $38.90. So what's coming up on the next Invest Talk? How monitoring mutual fund flows gives unique stock market insight. Flows, flow of money. That will be our topic on tomorrow's Invest Talk, Wednesday. Number is 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next on InvestTalk. One of the KPP financial solutions that help solve today's retirement puzzles is waiting for you. How do you get the income you need in retirement without the kind of risk that you just don't feel comfortable with? KPP Financial has a whole catalog of investment programs suited for today's investment climate and designed to suit your real-life situation today. Would you like to know more about the Balanced Income Program, for example? You can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts or ask Steve directly about it. Just click on Contact Steve on investtalk.com and your note will go directly to him and he'll answer your question. The Balanced Income Program is one solution from KPP Financial. And now let's get back to the podcast. This is Invest Talk, and we're here to talk money management. You have questions about the tools of the trader or how to learn patience for the long-term investor? Talk to Steve right now. The anytime number is 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, everybody. 888-992-4278. Okay, so if we are in a bear market, it would have started January 26th, because that's when we topped. So that's when the market started to correct, okay? So if we're in a bear market, the average length means that we have 11 more months to go before it's done. And 5,529 points down on the Dow. That's 23 more percent. That would give you a total percentage of 33.6% down bear market. That would be the average, okay? That would be average. So think of all the pain that would cause. See, we haven't seen this kind of pain for a long time. You have to go all the way back to 2008, 2009 to see this kind of pain. Back then, it was about 50%. But this would be 33.6 would be the average bear market. Okay, so are we in a bear market? No. Could we be? Of course we could be, but we want to be reasonable. Okay, what would cause a bear market? Well, we'd have to be in a trade war. I would think our economy is pretty strong for the next 12, 18 months, so I don't think the economy going down. It has to come from someplace else. There has to be something dramatic. Remember, the S&P 500 earnings are supposed to go up 20% this year. That's huge, 20%. How can we be in a bear market? Now, we can be in a bear market because remember, you know, panic could set in. The market could be driven by something from left field. something that we didn't expect. We don't know. We call those black swan events. It could be some kind of black swan event that no one could predict. Or it could be just panic for no reason at all, for some minuscule, obscure thing that means nothing. So it could be simply because everybody's getting extremely nervous about the high volatility we're having, and we get an exhaustive sell-off, which I mentioned before. That means when 90% of the stocks fall and the volume of traded stocks of that day is huge, that would be an exhaustive sell-off, and that would mark the end of the correction. It marks the end of bear markets too, but I don't know if we're going to see that. It could be a situation where it just peters out soft, and we don't even have a signal that it's the end. It's so gently gone down forever, and no one knows that it's finally stopped, didn't notice it. It could be that way, too. My preference would be the exhaustive sell-off, because it's pretty obvious in many ways. But that's if we are in a bear market, and I don't think we are. I think we're just correcting. I really do. I just think it's corrections. It's in a correction. We might have several corrections this year. I just don't see a bear market developing yet. Let's go to, Sandoz. How are you doing, Sandoz, in Boston?
Hey, Steve. This is Sandoz from Boston. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, sure. So I know I should buy a term life insurance when I'm 30 years old working. So I might leave the country in next 3 years. So like what term is better to buy? And if I leave the country, like will I still get the benefits of it?
From the insurance from the company, is a company supplying you life insurance?
No, I'm planning to buy something outside term life insurance.
Okay. I like term. Term life, yeah, I think term. Yeah. Are you married? Do you have kids?
No. I am working, I'm single, but I support my parents.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay, so you support your parents. Okay, see.
Yeah.
Sandoz, you gave me, when you said no initially, that no, I'm not married, don't have kids, then immediately my mind goes, well, then you don't need life insurance. But then you said,
yeah,
I support my parents. There is a reason why you need insurance. I am okay with buying insurance if there is a need. And you have a need. So, yes, I think term insurance is the way to go. You'll get better coverage with a lower premium. And if you could do it for a set time. I don't know how old your parents are. Let's say how old are they?
55, Sandoz? 60.
Oh, they're 60. Fairly young. So you can get like a 20-year or 30-year policy on them, on yourself, and protect them for that length of time. And that's what I would do on the term, because it's inexpensive, especially you, a young guy. It'd be fairly cheap. So, I would do that if you have to support your parents. Yes, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Turn by.
Okay.
Sanders,
and,
appreciate the call.
I just want to know another thing. Like, what if I leave the country?
Sure.
What if I'm not in United States? Is it still applicable, the insurance?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, great.
Yeah, there's no requirement. Are you going to live someplace else, or are you just visiting or be gone for a month, 2 months?
No. So I am working here. I might like with a limited work permit, so it might get expired in 3 years. So what if I go, like leave United States in 3 years? That's what my question was.
Yeah, I don't think it changes anything. I don't think they have anything in the contract that says if you live outside the United States, a policy is canceled. But I would check with the agent when you buy it, saying I may be moving out of the country 3 or 4 years from now. Will that affect? If I still pay my premium, will that affect anything? So make sure you ask that question. Okay?
Yep, got it.
But I don't think so.
Yeah, thanks so much, Steve.
Thanks, Sandoz. Yep. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We have the March 2018 market update and forecast for you, everybody. We do this every month. It's a series of special. We also have watch lists. If you're interested, you know, list of real estate investment trusts or dividend paying ETFs, income investing series, we call them one sheets. There's all kinds of things we have, and they're free if you sign up at investtalk.com to become an insider. There's no cost, no forms, just sign up, but basically just give us an email, and that's about it. So if you're interested, sign up at investtalk.com, become an insider. We have an open line ready for your comments or on today's economic climate or any money topic that you might want to talk about. 888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Art in Menlo Park. How are you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you today? Thanks for taking my call.
Well, I got stung in the eye by a wasp, and so that really was a problem. Right below the eye, I should say.
Oh, man.
Okay. That was very, very a lot of fun. But other than that, I'm doing great.
Oh, hopefully it feels better after a few days or so.
But, yeah, it was a couple days ago, so.
Oh. I was actually wondering what your thoughts were on Applied Optoelectronics.
Okay.
It looks like,
this one's AAOI.
AAOI.
Yeah. Okay. Take a look at that. Applied Optoelectronics manufactures fiber optic networking products for the cable TV, fiber to the home, and data center markets. It's a really small company. That's your danger here. It's a $479 million company. That's really, really tiny. So these are the kind of companies you need to have grow real fast to have people have faith in them. This company makes money, has made money for years now, since 2013. It's going to make $2.99 next year. It's a $24 stock, so the PE is pretty low. But the big problem you have here is sales were growing 25 to 100% a quarter, except for the most recent quarter when sales shrunk 6%. And that's why the stock went from a $100 stock down to a $24 stock. Because everybody saw that coming. It was at $100 in August, and today is $24. And they got really worried about it and sold it off. This is what happens when you have a growth stock that stops growing. Now, it's at a pretty good value, Art. It's a pretty good value, but it is a very small company. I think you want to wait till it breaks above. I would wait till it breaks above at least the 20-day moving average, which is $27, or maybe the 50-day moving average, which is $30. I would wait to see. It's got to show you some strength before you jump into it. But I do think it's a pretty good value at this age.
Yeah, I was actually looking at it because of the recent merger with Oclaro. I think I heard the earlier caller call about Oclaro, and this is in the same area. And I'm thinking it may be like a buyout type of.
It might be, but it's really not the same area. This is fiber optics. This is a fiber optic. The other one was an optical company, but more cameras. And cameras used in iPhones and in manufacturing, optical to check for high quality things and stuff like that. This is fiber optic, more of a entertainment TV, fiber optic kind of, and data centers. So they're a pretty different company. All right, good luck with it. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. AAOI was the symbol, everybody. AAOI. Okay, Alphabet, which is Google, right? There's Google and Alphabet. Has a company called Waymo, and they unveiled their self-driving car. Okay, they're going to come out with 20,000 of them. Jaguar and Toyota, they got together and to come up with these cars, and there's going to be a fleet of these cars, 20,000. And the first couple of years of production, this is fairly new stuff, guys. Very new stuff. And the fatal crash that happened a week ago by a Uber self-driving car. Remember, it killed that pedestrian. They're not too worried about it. It's going to be all electric, and they're going to have this launch of these 20,000 cars in Phoenix. Okay. By the way, same place that the lady was killed by the Uber car. And there'll be sedans, minivans, Class 8 semi-trucks. And this is going to be, you order it like you do an Uber car. You order these things, it comes, picks you up, and drives you somewhere. Okay, and this is going to happen within the next couple of years. You're going to have self-driving cars on the road, driving around. Some people are scared to death of it. My personal opinion is I think it's going to work out just fine. Yes, there'll be problems. Yes. But this technology is coming, and I think it's here to stay. I really do. And actually, I think the environmentalists should be very happy, not because it's an electric car, even though that they could be happy about that. It's because I think overall this would reduce the number of cars on the roadway. If this gets popular, just like Uber, the more popular it is, it will eventually reduce number of cars on the roadway, which obviously reduces pollution. And I do think the electric car is going to be big. We got all the major manufacturers are coming out with new electric cars, all of them. And a lot of different models, not just ugly models, nice models. So I think that's going to continue. But you also have to remember, electric cars do pollute because you have to charge them every night, and that power's got to come from somewhere. You got to generate the electricity. Now, and if the demand is huge, they're going to have to build power plants to meet the demand. It's just as simple as that. Might be a more efficient way to do it, and that's great. So, but just so you know, it's not pure one-of-one. It is. I had an article a year or two ago, and they were comparing the two types of vehicles and the absolute pollution of electric car versus non-pollution car, and it's only like 25-30% less than a gasoline car. And if the mileage per the gas car goes up, the benefit is even less. So, but there is a benefit, a clear benefit. Let's go to Bobby in Atlanta. How you doing, Bobby? Bobby, are you there? Did we lose Bobby?
Here. Can you hear me?
Oh, hi, Bobby. How you doing?
All right. Hey, Patterson Companies, PDCO. You think it's a good value stock right now?
Let's take a look. Let's see. This is Patterson Company, develops dental companion pet and equine veterinarian and rehabilitation supplies. I do like that area. Pets, people will spend anything on their pets. And I include myself in that, by the way. I don't have any pets right this minute, but on my dogs, when I had dogs and they died old age, I'd spend whatever it took. So people will do that. So I like that area because of that. This is a $2 billion company, pays a 4.8% dividend. Earnings are going to be $1.69, but that's down from $2.34 per share last year. Then next year it's going to rise again 10% to $1.86. It's really close to its bottom of the five-year range, but I think you need to wait for it to go sideways for a couple of weeks and then start up before you buy it. We don't know if it's finished falling. You don't want to catch a falling knife. Let the knife hit the ground. You don't want to get cut. Let it go sideways and then pick it up if you want to buy it. Got to go. Appreciate the call. Thank you, Bobby. And that's PDCO, Patterson Companies. You get the last word, everybody. On our last segment, we have time for your question to help us wrap up the week. Check in now at 888-99-CHART. Join in the discussion.
Let's get back to your calls on InvestTalk for this Tuesday, March 27th. When making capital markets forecast, trying to divine what's next for the stock and bond market, some professionals refer to fund flows data sets. How monitoring mutual fund flows gives unique stock market insight. That's next time. You have a question for Steve right now? 888-99-CHART is how to reach him on InvestTalk.
Hey, Stephen, Justin. I'm calling in with a question about DGRW. It's the Wisdom Tree Dividend Growth ETF. It bounced all the way down to the 200-day moving average on Friday, and I picked some up today at $39.96. I'm wondering where you think I should set like a stop loss, and then where I should be looking for like a 6-month to 1-year return on investment on this. All right, I'll listen for the answer. Thanks.
Okay, this is DGRW, is the Wisdom Tree U.S. Quality Dividend Growth. Exchange traded funds seeking performance corresponding to the Wisdom Tree U.S. Dividend Growth Index. And I thought you bought it right. I did like it double bottomed right, and this time the bottom that it hit the second time was right at the 200-day moving average. So if this is a support area, hopefully it can hold. It was down 1.56% today, but this is a support area on a chart. If it breaks down below this area, then it's probably going down to $36 or so from $39. The recent high was at 44, almost 44.25. So that would give you about 13 or 14% return. But this is a kind of ETF you buy for the dividend. You wouldn't want to trade it because it is a dividend ETF. You got to earn the dividends. Don't you want to earn the dividends? See, these are more for a long-term investor, not for a trade. Not for a trade. You bought it right, I would just hold on to it and not worry about it. Now, I have other dividend ETFs I like better than this one, and I have a list of those. So if anybody's interested and wants to see it, I'll send it to you. You just got to ask me. Send me an email and ask me, and I'll send you the dividend-paying ETF list. But this is a good, solid one. And I don't think you want to use it as a trading vehicle. I don't. Now, if you want to hold, you want to keep your losses to the minimum. If it breaks the 200-day moving average, breaks it, going down, and that right now I have it at 39.16. Remember, it's at 39.81 right now. But if it breaks 39.16, that is the 200-day moving average. And I'd like to see it break and close maybe 3 or 4% below that. Because what happens is the 200-day moving average is a support area, and sometimes it drops below and comes right back. So you want to try to ensure that that did break. 888-99-CHART. Now I'm going to talk about Tesla. There was an article about a hedge fund manager and how he thinks it's, quote, unless Elon Musk pulls a rabbit out of his hat, Tesla will be bankrupt within 4 months. This is John Thompson of Villas Capital Management. And so this is an article, a Market Watch, so he's talking about, oh gosh, I better read that, see what that says. Now, we short Tesla in one of our managed accounts. I don't own the stock. But I wanted to read through it and say, well, who's this guy? I don't recognize him. Well, he runs a fund, and I said, okay. So I'm reading further. He says that the company is eventually have to make a profit, which we all agree. And I don't ever see that happening here, he told MarketWatch. This is one of the worst income statements I've ever seen. And between the story and the financials will win out in this case. Now, you've heard me talk about Tesla, and I believe that it has a good chance of going bankrupt. But do I believe this guy? I want to know who this guy is. And I'm going to get to a point here. He manages a $25 million fund. $25 million fund? That is tiny. Okay. He has been short Tesla big time for a long time, for years. Well, if that's true, he's lost a ton of money, hasn't he? So why are we listening to him now? Why all of a sudden now he's, okay. Because Tesla has had hard times and it's fallen down from its high, but it's not having collapsed or anything. Be very careful about these headlines, and what these people say. Who's he? He's guessed wrong for years. What makes you think he's guessing right now all of a sudden? Remember, I'm short Tesla. I think it's going to go down too, but, you need to read all these kinds of articles with a grain of skepticism. Okay? Time to wrap it up. You can see more about today's talking point, absolute return investing, right here there on InvestTalk.com. InvestTalk.com with two T's. And there's a link to a replay of today's program. I'm financial writer Steve Peasley. Justin Klein and I, thank you for making us part of your day. And let's do it again tomorrow, Wednesday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is President and Justin Klein Chief Executive Officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.